A time of reflection. Daniel brought a meditation for us at a worship rehearsal this past week that challenged the team. When was the last time you took time to really reflect upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And how appropriate that is. And we want to take time tonight to really reflect upon the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we have three different, let me just kind of go over what we're going to be doing. We're going to have a short explanation of what we're going to be, three images, if you will, of the passion. If you're familiar with that word, the passion of the Christ, it's really synonymous with the sufferings of Jesus and the various different ways that he suffered. And there are lots of different imagery when you read the Bible about the passion during the Passion Week, the ways he suffered. He was rejected by his own disciples, he was betrayed by a friend, many, many different images. Tonight, we're only just going to look at three. We're going to look at the idea of foot washing, the Lord's Supper, and finally, the cross. And all of these are really appropriate, and we want to take an additional look at some thoughts regarding this. And so I'm going to provide a brief explanation. Jerry's going to come and read the scriptures, and then we're going to follow that up by a response of worship. So we're responding personally to these icons, these images, symbols of the passion of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to respond corporately together as we worship him together. The foot washing begins this time of the upper room. So the disciples enter the room and they don't wash their feet. Nobody washes their feet. When you think about this, the foot, the feet, when you walk around on a dusty road and you have sandals on, your feet are going to be the dirtiest part of your life. It's not like you have these nice work boots on and you tie them up and you go out and do yard work and you're all dirty and you take off your shoes, the foot's the cleanest part, right? That's not how it works back then. Back then, it's your sandal. Your foot was the dirtiest part of you. So what's the most dirty part in your life? And how do you want to commit, ask Jesus to do his work, his washing work in your life? And how do you want to participate with that? Romans chapter 7, verse 24, the Apostle Paul says this. He has been an apostle. He's been preaching the gospel. And he struggles with this thought. He says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death?" And as you know, what Romans chapter 7 is about is internal struggle that Paul has. The good he wants to do, he doesn't do. The bad he doesn't want to do, that he does. And so all of us have these areas in our lives that are like strongholds, if you will. And so I have these different implements of cleaning up here. So we have a number of different things here. So we have a pail that you can put water in. You have just a rag if you're just going to wipe something down with, and it's not too dirty. But if you have a little bit more dirt on there, might have to use some soap. If you need a scrubber, you might need to use a scrubber like this to just really scrub it. Maybe you might have things that have grooves and has crevices, and it's hard to get that dirt out. And so what are the things in your life that require some additional attention? So as Jerry reads that scripture about the foot washing, how will you respond? Let the light of our Lord shine upon that dirty place. And maybe it's confessing those sins. Maybe it's reconciling with someone. What better time than tonight than to let Jesus wash you? So let this be a sacred time. The next imagery icon or symbol is the Lord's Supper. And the idea of the Lord's Supper is you get a piece of bread, you break it. Now, it's not actually like the bread we have here. All of these are individual wafers. But the way they had a piece of bread back then, it was normally a round piece like this, and it had holes in it, and you just bake it. It's kind of like a giant cracker. And then you break it up, and everybody would share in that bread. So the idea of Jesus sharing that bread is the idea of unity. The same bread that Jesus is eating, we're eating. The same cup that Jesus is drinking from, we're drinking from. And so it's the idea of communion with God, or drawing near to God. That's really a theme of the Lord's Supper. We practice the open table, which means you do not have to be a member of our congregations here. You just have to be a believer in Jesus Christ to participate in communion or Lord's Supper. And we ask that simply to respect the idea, the symbol that the Lord's Supper requires. You know, we go through communion a lot, probably in our churches with a certain regularity. And I don't know about you, but we have a certain formula we kind of go through, and we have a little a reading that we go through, and we invite people to come up and use these center aisles, and it takes about 15 minutes, and half that time, most of that time, you're not actually taking communion. You're waiting in line, right, for somebody, and when you're done, you go and sit down, right? And what I'd like to offer to you is, when we have these other images here, I'd like you to engage with these other images while during this space that we have for communion. And we're going to take whatever amount of time we need to allow your soul to reflect upon our Lord Jesus Christ and what he wants to do in your life. So, you know, when you go take your, when you receive your elements and you go sit down, you might be tempted to do some text messaging. Text messaging, right? Oh, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm done with communion. Oh, what shall I do? I should text message somebody. I'm going to encourage you actually to text message tonight. Text message. What's the message you're getting from the text? Okay? So reflect upon it. It's a little different twist of meaning here, but I'm going to encourage you to take that time to reflect upon the scripture that we talk about today and we read. So, what is your relationship with God like? How intimate is it with the Lord? A lot of times, if you've been a believer for a long time, you get on this autopilot kind of thing, and you do your thing kind of regularly, automatically. Tonight, we want to just take some time to kind of break that autopilot and really ask some questions about how is our relationship, what is our relationship like? God said if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. God says that many of us have forsaken our first love. Allow the Lord to speak to you tonight. Let this be a sacred time. The third image here is the cross. And as we know, the cross is the implement of death. As believers, we understand that forgiveness of God came at a price. It's not just that God's a nice guy, and I think I'll just overlook that sin. Sin has a price. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus is the one who paid that price. He paid that price for freedom. The question I want to ask us to think about tonight is, will you go free? Are you free? What are the things that continue to shackle you? You feel like handcuffs on you, that when you go through this part in your life, are you free? And if not, what do you need to do to get free? Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that he set you free, that Jesus set you free. Jesus didn't set you free so that you can be shackled again and put in handcuffs again. So we want to reflect on the price Jesus paid to pay for your sins. We want to think about what is something that Jesus pardoned you from that you are particularly grateful for. Think of something that you just sense the pardoning of God, forgiveness of God, and you just, in your heart, you're thinking, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. But we also want to think about this. What is a stubborn sin in your life? What is something that just keeps you completely dependent upon that cross, that it makes you just so aware that if you had to clean up your act by yourself, you would fail? And draw near to God then. Confess it to Jesus. Let the Son set you free. Let him wash your conscience. Let him remove that guilt from you. Respond with a sincere prayer of thanks. And let this time be a sacred time. So that's what I've just shared here is what is on that sheet of paper there. I'm not sure if you're following with me. But I would like to, as we go through our time today, spend some time in reflection. Whenever you are ready, we would like to ask you to come up to receive communion. We would like to ask you to reflect upon the washing. As far as the cross goes, I'm going to encourage you to think about a sin, just one sin, okay? And write it on a piece of paper. You have that piece of paper. So some people were commenting, if I got to write my sins on this, it's kind of a small piece of paper, right? That's true. But we only got to write one, okay? So if you feel led to write a sin on here, something you're struggling with, don't write your name on it. Okay, but feel to write that sin on here. And if you have a pen, you can fold it up. We have some hammers up here. We have some nails in a bowl here. You can just take a nail and nail it to the cross. It's really our sins that put him on the cross. And he continues to pay for our sins even today. And so that's what tonight is about. And as we have this time of personal reflection, I'd like to ask you to take your time. Don't rush. I'm not going to ask you to form a line. One line here, one line there. I'm just going to say, come up when you're ready to receive communion. You can sit here and reflect upon the washing. You can take the time you need to think about what you want to nail to the cross, if anything. Okay? This is your time with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like for us to engage with that, to warm up our hearts and to really begin fueling our hearts together. I'd like to ask Jerry to come up and read us a few scriptures to juice up our hearts and bring us on the right path here.
Learning for me when I read scripture, there's several things that you can do. Sometimes I just read. Sometimes I just write things down. Other times I just listen to music or scripture. So there's variations of things. Tonight I'm just going to read a bunch of scripture. This talks about Jesus. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather a riot was beginning, he had the soldiers lead Jesus away into the palace, and they called together the whole battalion. There the soldiers stripped him, flogged him, and put a scarlet robe on him. Twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him and took the reed and struck Jesus on the head. Pilate came out again and said to the Jews, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die. He has made himself become the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more worried. Again, Pilate entered the headquarters and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, You have no authority over me, all unless it has been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has a greater sin. Still, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement. Now it was a day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So Pilate took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas. And having him dressed again in his own clothes, he had Jesus led away to be crucified. And there followed Jesus a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren womb that never bore, and the breast that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' If they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were robbers were led to him to be put to death with him. And at the third hour, when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And the scripture is fulfilled that says, "He was numbered with his transgressors." And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" But Pilate said, "I have written what I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But his tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." And for those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And so also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. He is King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires, for he says, 'I am the Son of God, his chosen one.'" The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him some sour vinegar mixed with gall, and saying, "If you are King of Jews, save yourself." But when Jesus tasted it, he would not drink it. One of the robbers next to Jesus blasphemed him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving a due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now Jesus saw his mother Mary and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciples took her to to her own home. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lemi sabachthani, this is my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders said, this man is calling for Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it in a reed so as to give to him to drink. But the other says, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. But Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. So they put the sponge full of sour wine and held it to his mouth. When Jesus received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And he bowed his head and breathed his last and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were woken up. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in way Jesus breathed his last, truly, this man was the Son of God. We'd like to share with you a video now.
תת מרלן הנה נתו משיכה ברא דה עליה
ענה ענה
גוטפה משלם
Thank you.
would like to invite you now to personally reflect upon the sacrifice of Jesus, his passion, his suffering. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after he broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'd like to welcome you to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to welcome you to the washing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to welcome you to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take your time. Whenever you're ready, feel free to come up and receive the elements and reflect upon the washing and the cross. I invite you now, everyone who has received Jesus Christ, and let me pray this prayer first. If you have not received Jesus Christ and you would like to receive Jesus Christ, there's nothing more than we would like than for you to receive Jesus Christ and be able to receive these elements with us, be a part of the family of God. Simply open your heart to Jesus. Say, "Lord, I have sinned. I recognize that you have given your life for me. I receive you as my Savior. I receive your sacrifice as that which covers over my sins. Help me to walk as a follower of you." If you've prayed that prayer and you've meant it, then we believe you are welcomed into the family, and we would love for you to receive the elements of the Lord's Supper with us. Thank you, Lord. We commit to you these moments ahead. Holy Spirit, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I welcome you to the table. I welcome you to reflect on our Lord Jesus Christ. Mashlam.